Thank you. Alleluia! Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia!
God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of unchangeable power, when you fashioned the world, the morning stars sang together, and the host of heaven shouted for joy. Open our eyes to see the wonders of creation, and teach us to use all things for good, to the honor of your glorious name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the book of Revelation. In the spirit, the angel carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring into it the glory and the honor of nations, but nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are the healing of the nation. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and its servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no more night. They need no light of a lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
After Jesus healed the son of the royal official, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate, there is a pool called in Hebrew Bethesda, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Now that day was a Sabbath. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Beloved God, who speaks through the humble, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be a blessing to you this morning. Amen. Good morning. I should start with some introductions. It is a joy to be with you. I just have to express gratitude to Reverend Pamela and for the whole community for welcoming me and my wife to your gorgeous sanctuary today and allowing me to share some of my thoughts with you on this Rogation Sunday. I am Peyton Hoig. I'm the program director for the Center for Spirituality and Nature. And so Rogation and creation is kind of my bread and butter. And so I'm glad to be able to have a captive audience to listen to me, honestly. As many of you will know, the term Rogation is derived from Latin rogare, which is to ask. And on our Rogation days in the Episcopal Church, we appeal for God's blessing on the land and upon our communities. And today, I couldn't ask for a greater blessing than to be here celebrating the Eucharist with all of you, but I couldn't ask for more appropriate lectionary readings to speak on the subject that is near and dear to my heart and which is the core message of my particular ministry. So I guess Spirit does move in really beautiful ways. Our reading from Acts draws us to a place of prayer alongside rushing waters. In Revelation, we're offered a glimpse of the river of the water of life. It's described as clear and fresh, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb of God, nurturing the tree of life, whose leaves, we are told, are for the healing of nations. And then in our gospel passages, we find Jesus, the Lamb of God, at a pool at the Sheep's Gate, inviting us to and embodying in himself that healing, that wholeness and wellness. And the language in each of these passages is so rich and beautiful and evocative. Every verse seems to reflect the appeals that we might bring to God on this Rogation Sunday. There seems to be such an easy path for us to follow this morning from the pools of Jerusalem to a river rushing into that heavenly water of Revelation's promise to just invite us to join that psalmic rogation. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let the peoples praise you. The earth has brought forth her increase. God, give us a blessing. Grant us this blessing. May all the ends of the earth stand in awe of the Creator. But that would be a really short sermon. And I have to apologize to you since you're strangers, you don't know me well. But that's not the sermon that I've brought for you today. And as I was meditating on this week's readings, in my mind's eye, just resting in the shade of the tree of life, lazing by streams of healing, there were shadows at the edge of these blissful scenes. A note of danger, a threatening stir, and the quiet piercing of growls. I definitely would have preferred to bring you a message that is just simple and soft and soothing and easy, but wolves kept getting in the way. As I read of the waters flowing from the Lamb of God's throne in the heavenly city, the good shepherd tending his flock at the pool at the Sheep's Gate, wolves kept creeping into my thoughts in a way that I couldn't ignore. And throughout history, wolves have played this role for us. They've flitted in and out of our anxious imaginations. We have whole legends and cautionary tales that have been constructed around our fear of wolves. They're these mythical creatures that have the lung capacity to blow down all but the sturdiest of homes. I joked with Pamela this morning that that might have been what the cause for the stained glass roof caving in a couple Easters ago, perhaps. They have space in their stomachs to swallow our poor grandmothers whole. What big eyes they have to hunt us in the dark. What big teeth to gnaw on our bones. The Holy Spirit moves in mysterious ways, and today, as we engage this sacred rite of rogation, as we talk of blessing and healing and wholeness, I feel somehow that we also need to talk about wolves. Here in the Western United States, due in no small part to the ominous sway they hold in our imagination, the wild snarl that wolves have represented as we marched in a progression to conquer and to tame, to settle and to urbanize the American continent from sea to sea. Wolves fell prey to a tragic and unconscionable fate, similar to that of our indigenous siblings who were subjected to loss and pain, displacement in pursuit of what was deemed manifest destiny. Displaced and killed at horrifying rates, by the late 19th and early 20th centuries, what had been a robust population of wolves was diminished to next to nothing. And by the mid-1920s, the very last wolf in California had been captured and killed. And by 1950, there were almost no wolves remaining in the American West. Certainly, ranchers and shepherds slept easier. The sheep and cattle, deer and elk were far from any want. As the psalmist might put it, they lay down in green pastures, rested in the shade by still waters. But this was not the water of life that we read of today, bright as crystal, supporting wholeness. Because slowly, in the absence of wolves, robust, healthy ecosystems began to collapse. And I think that might be why this Rogation Sunday, the Spirit has been tugging on my sleeve, pleading with me to ignore that easy path, the simple reviving of souls, the cool comfort of healing waters, to talk to you instead about wolves. For 70 years, without these predators in Yellowstone National Park, the elk population exploded. They grazed every open field and pasture, every plentiful valley and canyon. Berries were picked over. Shrubs and trees on the banks of streams and rivers were devoured before they had a chance to grow in their fullness. And as the herds of elk increased in size and in need, mice and rabbits, bear and hawks, songbirds and freshwater fish, beaver and otters, creatures of every sort, lacked what they needed to live and thrive, because the elk consumed more than the land could bear, more than what had before been needed for all life to thrive. And eventually, in seasons where cold and snow made provisions scarce, even the elk began to starve. What was a finely balanced system toppled in the absence of wolves. And over time, what biologists came to understand is that wolves are a keystone species. Their presence in an ecosystem is instrumental and essential to ensuring that other creatures have the conditions to thrive. And so in 1995, when a small number of wolves were reintroduced to Yellowstone National Park, the transformation that that simple act sparked was incredible. Conscious of the threat of this previously absent predator, and thinned by their packs, the elk population returned to a much more manageable level, and their herds were healthier and more robust. Even when conditions were harsh, there were few elk who starved. They grew resilient and strong. And with elk no longer able to graze unchecked by predators, Earth brought forth her increase, and life returned to the park. As my colleague Leah Rampe outlines in her book, Earth and Soul, and I quote, "Reintroducing wolves to Yellowstone changed the behavior of elk and deer, which in turn accelerated the growth of trees, the return of birds, and the reintroduction of beavers whose dams provided habitats for otters, muskrats, ducks, fish, reptiles, and amphibians. The wolves killed coyotes, increasing the number of rabbits and mice, and resulting in more hawks, weasels, foxes, and badgers. The effects continued until the very flow of the rivers was changed by the regeneration of forests. It's a beautiful example of how each species offers its specific contribution until ultimately the whole is larger than the parts. What was a dying landscape was resurrected, all because of wolves. A species so feared and despised that they were hunted to the point of extinction. A keystone of an interdependent ecosystem, which is a long and circuitous route back to the river of the water of life, to the pool at the sheep's gate, and to the Good Shepherd, cornerstone We know that like wolves, Jesus himself was scorned, rejected, and killed. Like wolves who, by disrupting the easy comfort of elk, allow a whole ecosystem of creatures, including the elk, to thrive. Jesus holds the blessing of the water of life by calling us out of our typical ways of being that might allow injustice to go unchecked. He calls us out of patterns of overconsumption, of wastefulness, of static preoccupation with our own vitality. He disrupts any easy self-absorption that might allow us to lay claim to the leaves from the tree of life without contributing in our own essential way to the healing work at hand. Like he does for the man at the pools by the sheep's gate, Jesus calls us to stand up and walk. And then he guides us into action. He beckons us to care for the earth, to advocate for justice, to play our part in ensuring that the whole of creation, all that God has touched and cherished and breathed into life, is somehow larger than the sum of its parts. To ensure that all beings have a chance to live and to thrive as God intended. And today I wonder, so do they. Do we in the Episcopal Church have the imagination, the capacity for perspective and conviction to include in our appeals for blessing and healing and abundance this Rogation Sunday, not only on the bounds of our stewarded property, our little Episcopal communities, but to all of creation? The wolves have the capacity to change the course of mighty rivers. And so I wonder, what might we contribute? Perhaps if we listen to the wolves, we might take up our own call, embrace anew the vows of our baptismal covenant, and do our part as a keystone species ourselves, following the example of the cornerstone, to change the course of the river of the water of life, to expand its banks beyond what we could imagine, to share the healing and wholeness and life abundant with all creation. This is the blessing that I'm asking for on this Rogation Sunday. And if that blessing echoes in your heart, perhaps you'll say with me, Amen.
Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed, which you can find on page 4 of your service bulletin. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the Church and for the world.
Almighty God, you've created what we need to sustain our earthly lives. May we be faithful in our stewardship of the soil, the sky, the water, the air, and be ever mindful of the needs and limits of your creation. Holy God, maker of heaven and earth, O God, the Creator, you have ordered a time for planting and for harvesting, for rest and growth and work, for sun and rain, for warmth and for cold. May we respect and celebrate all times and seasons as part of your creation and the cycle of our lives. Holy God, maker of heaven and earth, Forgive us favorable weather for planting, growing, and harvesting. Bless the soil of the earth and the waters of streams and lakes and seas. Bless the harvest of all farmers and fishermen. Holy God, maker of heaven and earth,
we lift up our prayers to you.
We pray for the homeless, the hungry, and the helpless, that we may always be willing to share with ours and be mindful and responsive to their needs and wants, so that everyone may have enough. Holy God, maker of heaven and earth,
we lift up our prayers to you.
We pray for all who are sick in body, mind, and spirit, for the hospitalized or homebound, for the victims of climate disaster, and for anyone carrying heavy burdens. We pray especially for those on our parish prayer list. Holy God, maker of heaven and earth,
we lift up our prayers to you.
For those who have died and have passed on to us the care of the beautiful earth, we thank you for their example and for your love that blesses us with eternal life. We pray for the repose of the soul of Bruce Carswell and for his family and friends who mourn. Holy God, maker of heaven and earth,
we lift up our prayers to you.
For our church, as the community of faith, and for those who serve you faithfully, and for the world in which we serve, we pray your grace and your spirit upon us. Holy God, maker of heaven and earth,
lift up our prayers to you.
Almighty God, we thank you for making the earth fruitful so that it might produce what is needed for life. Bless those who work in the fields, give us seasonable weather, and grant that we may all share the fruits of the earth, rejoicing in your goodness, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be always with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. I invite you to be seated for the announcements. We do have a lot of them, including those on our yellow sheet. Of course, I need to start by welcoming Peyton Hoig and his wife and friends who are here. It is just an honor after all these years of knowing each other online to finally see you in person and have you here. And if you were listening, I know you were listening to the sermon and thinking about rogation and asking, and a lot of what we ask traditionally at rogation time is for blessings on our property. And so we will be doing that after church today. For those who can stick around, I have a service of blessing at various stations around the campus here. And that's a sort of lovely tradition that goes way back, beating the bounds and asking for blessing on our space. But as Peyton said, it's really a time in our common life when we need to be looking beyond our own usual boundaries of space and of community. And so tomorrow we'll be out at Forbes Ranch in Esparto, and I think probably what you will lead us through there will really kind of be opening up the lens a little bit and bringing down some of those barriers and boundaries with the way that we engage with the natural community of life. So I'm really hoping, oh, and I made a note to myself, goats. Because y'all know how much I love my goats. So there will be goats there tomorrow if you come on out for between 10 and 12. So I hope to see a bunch of you there. Peyton's also a candidate for holy orders in the Diocese of LA. So this is and he's very close to ordination. So this is a good time to have him here. We will be also blessing bicycles and helmets and such. So what we're going to do after church is we'll go outside, and if everybody's really rowdy and hard to shepherd, then I have somebody with his whistle. referee. Sorry, this is soccer. He has his whistle. So we're gonna start over by the bike racks that are across from the parish hall doors, and then I'll lead you on a little tour of the campus. I've tried to make it as accessible as possible. It'll mostly be on level ground. And we'll stop at each station and we'll say prayers. And so that's happening after church, after this service. If you can't stay for the whole thing but just want to get your bike blessed, we'll do that first. So, okay, there's lots else going on. You've done a great job of responding to the Project Restart request for stuff. We're trying to wrap that up. So, Bob, are you going to be out in the narthex? Bob will be out in the narthex. If you brought things, or if you forgot to bring things that you were planning to bring, he'll take care of that and help you figure it out. And then we're going to have a packing party next Sunday, so we're looking for a few volunteers for that. And then we're getting into the season of Pentecost. We're looking for people who can help with our usual array of great languages that we use in that service. And that weekend also happens to be Pride weekend here in Davis. So we need a couple of volunteers to help out with that. And also I hope a bunch of us will show up for that concert considering Matthew Shepherd at the Mondavi Center. So lots more information in here, lots of ways to volunteer and get involved. We're also doing some summer formation, which I think will be fun. Sometimes formation goes away during the summer, but we're going to try not to let that happen. Including reading the book The Service Berry, which if you haven't read, it fits in with everything we've been talking about today. So lots and lots of great stuff happening. So take this home with you. And also on the back, I think there's a little flyer that we did about tomorrow's gathering. So That's happening there. Okay, we have some...
We got a bunch of celebrations. Okay. So we have a birthday coming this week. Susan Lugo will be celebrating a birthday.
Yay.
We have an anniversary. Dennis and Marianne Wilcox are celebrating their 56th anniversary.
Wow.
Woo-hoo.
Wow.
We have a graduation, at least one graduation that I know of to celebrate. Janet Lane, where's Janet? There's Janet, has completed her four-year EFM education for ministry training and graduated on Thursday. And our own Debbie Hawkins has a new grandbaby and somebody's have a new little sister, don't they? Is Delaney, is that right? Delaney Harris, born this week.
Wow, that's fantastic. Tomorrow is also my stepmother Eve's birthday. Happy birthday, yes. All right, we have a 9-year-old birthday. Anybody else celebrating or have a milestone that you want to share with the community? Oh, and I should have said, oh, Juliet, go ahead. Yay, Nick. Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah. And Nick has been one of the people who's helped so much, and you, Juliet, and several others who are here with our Care for God's Creation work. So glad that healing is happening there. I did also see our ushers are in back, and they have little goodie bags for people who are new here. You're supposed to raise your hand. We won't make you introduce yourself, but if you haven't been around before or you just haven't had a chance to receive a goodie bag, they have chocolate in them. I don't know what else I can do to like encourage you to raise your hand, but they will be brought forward to you if you do that. We have two prayers that we'll say. We'll say our regular celebrations and milestones prayer that is in your bulletin on page 5. And we're also including a prayer for heroic justice as part of recognizing that it is Memorial Day weekend for heroic service, sorry. So let us start with that prayer, taking a moment to collect ourselves. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Judge of the nations, we remember before you with grateful hearts the men and women of our country who in the day of decision ventured much for the liberties we now enjoy. Grant that we may not rest until all people of this land share the benefits of true freedom and gladly accept its disciplines. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And then saying together the celebrations and milestones prayer, watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We have communion at the altar rail. So on this side, which is your left, there we have intinction. And then on the other side, we have the bread and the chalice are separate. You can't intinct on this on the this side, but you can choose to have the bread or the wine or both. Our bread is gluten-free and vegan, so we try to make it as invitational as possible that everybody knows that they can come forward to receive communion. If you can't physically come forward, just let an usher know. We'll bring communion to you. You're also welcome to cross your arms, indicating you'd rather just receive a blessing. We do ask you to wait until the usher on your side, whichever side you choose, it doesn't have to be by where you're sitting, kind of indicates that we're ready to fill in from the back and around around the altar rail that way. I think that's everything. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
All thanks and praise are yours at all times and in all places, our true and loving God. Through Jesus Christ, your eternal word, the wisdom from on high by whom you created all things. You laid the foundations of the world and enclosed the sea when it burst out from the womb. You brought forth all creatures of the earth and gave breath to humankind. Wondrous are you, Holy One of blessing. All you create is a sign of hope for our journey. And so, as the morning stars sing your praises, we join the heavenly beings and all creation as we shout with joy. And honor are yours, Creator of all. Your word has never been silent. You called a people to yourself as a light to the nations. You delivered them from bondage and led them to a land of promise. Of your grace, you gave Jesus to be human, to share our life, to proclaim the coming of your holy reign and give himself for us, a fragrant offering. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, you have freed us from sin, brought us into your life, reconciled us to you, and restored us to the glory you intend for us. We thank you that on the night before he died for us, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it, gave it to his friends, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, Jesus took the cup of wine, said the blessing, gave it to his friends, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you and for all, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." And so, remembering all that was done for us, the cross, the tomb, the resurrection, and ascension, longing for Christ's coming in glory and presenting to you these gifts your earth has formed and human hands have made, we acclaim you, O Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Christ Jesus, come in glory. Send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts of bread and wine, that they may be to us the body and blood of your Christ. Grant that we, burning with your Spirit's power, may be a people of hope, justice, and love. Giver of life, draw us together in the body of Christ, and in the fullness of time, gather us with Blessed Martin and all your people into the joy of our true eternal home. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, we worship you, our God and Creator, in voices of unending praise. Blessed are you, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And now, first in Spanish and then in English, we pray as our Savior Christ has taught us. Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación y líbranos del mal. Porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thank you. Please rise for our post-communion prayer. Let us pray. God of abundance, you have fed us with the bread of life and cup of salvation. You have united us with Christ and one another, and you have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen. Live without fear. Your Creator has made you holy, has always protected you, and loves you as a mother. Go in peace to follow the good road, and may God's blessing, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you always. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
go forth in the name of Christ. Alleluia, alleluia.